This week, amazingly enough, a lot has changed. The world is not the same world when you left here a week ago, same world that we have. The level of misinformation, uncertainty, fear, greed has skyrocketed, or at least has been exposed to a new level. The lack of knowledge coupled with layers of fear is trying to keep us, everybody, hostage today. The Bible speaks of fear as a spirit. Hear me out. And I pray that today some of us are going to be set free forever. The Bible says that fear is a spirit. Fear, it intertwines oftentimes with our feelings and our emotions. And we tend to think or believe that it's natural, that it's okay. But the Bible says that fear is a spirit. So today I'm going to just tell you a few thoughts when it comes to fear. And then we're going to roll our sleeves and I'm going to give you something practical when it comes to dealing with fear and how to evict fear out of your life. Because I know this for sure. Fear is knocking on the many doors of many people's hearts. And some people have opened their hearts to it. But today, by the grace of God, we're going to deal with it according to the word. Because fear, you cannot talk fear out of your life. Fear is a spirit. And you have to deal with a spirit from the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. Can I get an amen? So, number one, fear does not come from God. Fear, it might be connected to an emotion, it might be connected to a feeling, it might be connected to your mind, but fear does not come from God. The Bible says that God will never give you a spirit of fear, will never give you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you might, power, love, and self-control. Can we show that on the screen? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God will never give you the spirit of fear. But the Holy Spirit who gives you my power, love, and self-control. Fear does not come from God. I don't care how they paint it. I don't care how it looks like. I don't care how much sense it makes. Fear does not come from God. You're not ready for this. How come they don't close the DMV? Okay, whatever. Cheese. I had to throw that one out there. Number two, fear is a response to listening to the voice of the enemy. Fear, remember in the Garden of Eden, how many of you remember the story in the book of Genesis? When Adam and Eve were told, do not eat from a certain tree, that which in the original Hebrew is a mango. Come on, somebody, mango tree. And God said, do not eat from that tree. But the Bible says that they ate from the tree. And this is what happened. But the Lord called a man and says, what are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Listen to the response of God. He said, the man said, hey, I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked. And God said to him, who told you you were naked? In other words, who you have been listening to? Because fear is a response to the voice of the enemy. Notice that, what's it say? The Bible says that they made their little attire out of fig leaves. In other words, they tried to cover themselves. They were without a covering. When a person is without a covering, you don't know who covers you. Hey, say, my God is faithful. Come on, say, he will never leave me. When a person doesn't understand that, a person gets fearful, and the spirit of fear just comes into their hearts and grip their hearts. And the problem with fear is this. Fear is a spirit. When fear cracks your armor, when fear cracks your heart, it's not only corona that is coming, baby. Everything else is coming. Because now you're fearful. Now the individual is fearful. So it's not only corona, because in a few weeks we're going to be in another level. It's going to be a report from the doctor. It's going to be a report from the banker. It's going to be your children. It's going to be what you hear. Fear, once the fear cracks your armor, everything else is coming in. Because it's a what? It's a spirit. Say a spirit. Come on, 13. Everybody say a spirit. Being outside of God's covering, when you try to fix matters on your own, the spirit of fear is a byproduct of it. Number three, Fear is the opposite of faith. Faith pleases God. Fear pleases the enemy. You notice that the Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion. He is not a lion. He is like, but watch this, he's like a what? Roaring. In other words, what comes out of the mouth of the enemy has the ability of coming into our ears, latching itself into our hearts, and causes us to feel a certain way. He's not a roaring lion. He is like a roaring lion. In other words, how do he get people? Through fear and intimidation. Say, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear expects the worst to happen. Fear is the currency of darkness. When a person operates in fear, the enemy's running the show in that person's life. Because the enemy knows if he can get you, hey, he might not be able to touch you, but if he can convince you, if he can get your faith, your eyes to be taken off Jesus, oh, he's going to eat your lunch. Come on, 13, everybody say, I'm not fearful. Come on, tell him, I'm fearless. Fear expects the worst to happen. In the book of Matthew, there's a story of the talents, pieces of gold. The Bible says that a master gave certain people certain pieces of gold, and one of them, he was fearful. Watch this. He expected the worst. I'll show you. It says, then the man who had received one bag of gold came and said, Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man. Watch this. Expecting the negative, expecting the worst. You were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, you have what it belongs to you. You see, perhaps fear has knocked on your door. Perhaps you opened your door to it, your life to it. Perhaps not only fear knocked on your door and you opened the door, but perhaps fear is sitting in your living room. Say, oh, Jesus. Today, by the grace of Jesus Christ, we're going to evict fear out of your life forever. Hear me out. The goal of fear is to destroy. The progression of fear, watch. Disrupt, distract, discourage, disappoint, and ultimately destroy. How do I evict the spirit of fear out of my life? Number one, say number one. Hear me out. The entire world, we about to roll up our sleeves. The entire world is tripping. And I'm not saying that you're not wise. I'm going to show you in a moment how that comes into perspective. But first, you got to focus on the word. Say, focus on the word. Come on, 13, everybody say, focus on the word. The first thing you have to do is to focus on what? On the what? Do you know that the Bible, I read this the other day and I looked it up. There's about over 365 variations of the phrase, fear not, in the Bible. One for every day and then some. There's a God is in a constant state of telling you, fear not. Telling us not to be concerned, not to be fearful. Because in this world, he says, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I overcome the world. So me and you, we have to learn how to what? Say, focus on the word. Come on, 13, say, focus on the word. The Bible says that 1,000 may fall on your side and 10,000 in your right hand, but it will not come near you. I have to learn and to focus on the word, to discipline myself, to put my eyes on the what? Or the word. In other words, we speak about this all the time in church, having a daily time of what?
Devotion.
Of what?
Devotion.
Of devotions. Before I do anything else, before I make my rounds, how many of you make your rounds online? CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, the News Hawk, the Advertiser, Ventura Star, Ed Hat. How many of you go to Ed Hat? Ed Hat a little gossipy, huh? Like Ed Hat. Oh, my neighbor got two dogs. Is that okay? You know, Ed Hat. How many of you never been to Ed Hat? Don't do it. God bless you. You're holy. You're holy. You're going to heaven. Hear me out. Before I do anything else, I gotta focus on the word. The Bible says that there's no fear in love. Perfect love puts fear out of our hearts. In other words, God, his word, will put fear out of us. So the first one, was, I'm going to give you a little acrostic. For letter F was to focus on the word. Number two, letter A, abstain from junk food. Hear me out. All those things that I just told you, the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. In other words, if you feed yourself junk food, hear me out. We live in a society, the proliferation of social media. Everybody has an opinion, and everybody is an expert in every single field out there. And if you feed yourself, watch, junk food, when it's time to feed yourself the word, have you ever had a bag of Twinkies before dinner? Can I get an amen? Only me and Eric. Okay. Twinkies feel good, like right now. Sounds like good. You cannot consume. The Bible says, man, being Stephanie, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So if I eat junk first, if I wake up at 6, or I wake up at 5 because I'm going to spend time with God, but I grab my phone and I go through all my Facebook posting and all my Instagram and all TikToking and Snapchatting and blah. By the time you're going to get the word, you're already full with garbage. Can I get an amen? So you gotta what? Get rid of the garbage in your life. You cannot consume that junk in your life. Everybody has an opinion, but have you noticed that they don't tell you it's an opinion? You know, I was just telling Patrice earlier today. I saw an article yesterday or today. Walmart is now their hours. They're gonna be open less hours now. The article said Walmart is cutting their hours out. I read the article. They say, yeah, we're doing that because we need to restock and clean the stores because these clowns are making a mess out of our stores. But they don't tell you that from the beginning. So the headline sale, hear me out, this world is under the power of the wicked ones. The headline sale, more clicks, more coin, and money is the root, the love of money is the root of all evils. So if you listening to everybody, watch this, a lot of these shows, they're opinion shows. Did you know that? They're not the news. They sit on the table and they have an opinion just like me and you. They're misinformed themselves. So they sit at the table and they talk story, and sometimes people listen to them and it looks like you listen. They're not the gospel. You ready? Most of the time they don't know Jack either. But when I sit and I feed myself that garbage, and I feed myself that early in the morning, and by 10 o'clock, I'm full with junk food. And when it's time to read the word and meditate on the word, I'm already worried. I'm already stressed out. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is so good. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is so good. So if my diet is only the news, the talk shows, Facebook, IG, blah, 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 blah. Oh, dude, you're lying. No, I got to put the word first and get rid of all that garbage in my life. Number three, say number three. I'm hooking you up for free. Number three, implement what you know. Turn to your neighbor and say, implement what you know. Okay. Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Book of Bob, Hosea, hear me out. The more knowledge you have, the less prayer you need. Watch. The more knowledge you have, the more understanding you have, the less prayer you need. Have you ever been to the pump to pump gas in your car and you have to pray, Lord, do I put diesel or gas? Father, give me wisdom. No. You have knowledge, you pump gas. Hello? You have knowledge and you what? You pump gas. You don't care if diesel is cheaper. I don't know if it's cheaper or not. You don't care. I don't know. Because you have knowledge. He says, my people, God's people are destroyed. God's people that love the Lord, that have a Bible, that come to church, they're destroyed because of lack of love. No. Lack of faith. No. Lack of knowledge. So you have to do what you know to do. When I was in Hawaii, there was an elder in the church. His name was Brent Farrell, Elder Brent. And this is years ago. And one day, we were talking story, and he said that he just came from a doctor. He had the flu. And he said, I came to the doctor, and I had a conversation with a doctor. Watch this. This is 10, 15 years ago. And he asked the doctor, do you ever get the flu? And the doctor says, never. The doctor says, I never get the flu. And now, mind you, this is 15 years ago. There's no 50 million gloves and masks or none of that. This is back in the days, if you can call that. He said, you know, in the years, no, I've been a doctor for many, many years, and I never get the flu. And he said, how come? You want to know how come? Come back next week. Okay, let's pray. No, I'm just kidding. This is what the doctor told him. Implement. Leave it there, Stephanie. Implement what you know. This is what the doctor says. He says, every year, I get my flu shot. It doesn't work 100% of the time, but he does have a flu shot. He says, and while I'm at work, I never, ever, ever, ever touch my face with my hands. And number three, I already scratched my face like a million times here. Pray for me, okay? I'm disciplining myself. And number three, he says, I wash my hands as often as, no, not between patients, as often as I remember. Sometimes I'll be right, oh, let me go wash my hands. He come back, he talk to somebody, let me wash, touch the phone. So watch this, those three things, he never gets the flu. So what? You implement what? What you know. That's wisdom. God says, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. It doesn't mean like God is not for you. That's why God has given us what? Wisdom. Can you say wisdom? Can you say wisdom? Some people are over spiritual. I've met with people like that, that they're so spiritual, and they say, oh, pastor, if you believe in healing so much and God heals the sick, how come you have to wear glasses? God has given man what? Wisdom. Because there was a time that there was no glasses. So man has given man, God has given man what? Wisdom. So people perish for lack of what? Knowledge, not you. In other words, everything, implement what you know. How many of you heard of a pastor called Casey Tree? Casey Tree, no? How many of you have read? Raise your hand. You heard Casey Tree? Yeah. It's a well-known pastor. In fact, some years ago, my son did, I don't know, I forgot what he did, something. And the punishment, I punished him, and I said, you have to read one of Pastor Casey Tree's book. You know, that was his quote-unquote punishment. And then at the end, you have to write him a letter, you know, to Pastor Casey Tree. So my son read the book. He wrote him a letter. I said, let me read the letter before you mail it out. Casey Tree, my punishment was to read your book. I said, no, that's not going to work. We have to change that a little bit. Hear me out. Some years ago, about 10, 15 years ago, before he was a believer, he was addicted to heroin for many years. Later on in life, that addiction caught up with him, and he had hepatitis C in his liver. And he said that God gave him a word out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 9. What it says, use every endeavor to heal yourself, out of the Amplified Bible. In other words, he says, use everything within your power to make yourself better. In other words, what am I saying? Implement what you know. Things that you hear, hey, practice them. Don't be foolish. In other words, don't be smoking. Lord, no, you do everything within your power, everything that you know to do to get yourself what? Better. Hey, I spoke to a doctor years ago, and I said, hey, what's the biggest problem that you see with people? He says, people, the biggest issue that I see with people is following through. In other words, the doctor said, hey, you need to lose weight. They don't lose weight. The doctor say, take three of these. They don't take three of these. The doctor say, work in your blood pressure. They don't do it. So they don't implement what he tells them. In other words, the wisdom is there. The tools are there, but they don't use them. They don't implement what they know. So me and you got to do it. If you want to drive fear out of your life, implement what you know. Don't be foolish. Don't over-spiritualize. No, implement what you know. You know, when I grew up in the church, everything was a demon. You got a headache? Oh, that's a demon. Oh, you throwing up? That's a demon. And I said, one day my eyes were open like, what the heck, a demon goes away with Tylenol? Think about what I'm saying. God has given men what? Wisdom. And I say, his people perish for lack of knowledge. So once you apply, you implement what you know, what God has revealed to you, and you do the right thing, you're going to be all right. Talk to your neighbor and say, implement what you know. Come on, talk to your other neighbor and say, implement what you know. Number T, we're almost done. Number T, Take time to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Take time to pray. Plead the blood of Jesus over your life, over your family, over your children, over your business, over your career. Plead them, take time to pray. It goes back to the time of what? Devotions. Spend time in the Word and take time to pray. You know, I was reading in the Bible this past week, 1 Samuel, story of David. 9 times the Bible says that King David, anointed by God, protected by the Lord, I mean, he fought all kinds of battles, a man's man. You know, King David ain't no sissy. You know, he's like a man's man. If you read the story, we see him in the movies, he all cute or whatever. But in real life, that guy had to have scars all over his face, his back, you know, bad elbow, hip messed up, or riding them jacked up camels. Come on, son. It's been around. Hear me out. 9 times, the Bible says, that David inquired of the Lord. In other words, he had, watch this, he had everything together in a sense, but he knew that without God, he was nothing. Take time to pray. Take time to pray every day. Take time to pray. You set time aside with God every day. Plead the blood of Jesus over your life, over your children. Plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. Declare what God says. Take time to pray every day. You heard me say this before. Every day, every morning, first thing I do with my wife, first thing. Sometimes I'm in bed because my wife wake up like at the whatever, man. She wake up like at 4 a.m. every day. I'm like, get behind me, Satan. Every day, first thing she does, promise you, every day, she throws herself in me, she hugs me, and we pray for each other. First thing we do, every day, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you today, it's going to be a good day. Praise the Lord. Book of John, chapter 9, no, just kidding. Take time to pray every single day. Take time before you consume the garbage out there, before you deal with people in your workplace, before you deal with people in your household. First thing, take time to pray. And the last one, and we're done. Hope for God's best. Mm-hmm. Bible says in the book of Isaiah, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. You know, sometimes people take a certain medication. You go to a doctor, medication, they give you a paper with all the side effects. I know, you know what I'm talking about. Give you side effects. Some of them side effects, it's like, like, dude, do I want to take this? In Jesus' name. So, you know, like you watch the commercials on TV. Oh, this can give you, you can die, your mother can die, your son-in-law can die. You're like, everybody in your family can die like this. Hear me out. But sometimes people, watch, you ready? God wants to set you free today, watch. They take the medication and they look for the side effects. Now, hope for God's best. If you have to take it, look to be healed. Look for it to work. Have that expectancy inside of you that God is going to use that to get you to another level, to heal your body, to heal your mind. Will you please stand with us today? Will you lift up your hands before the Lord? I want you to repeat this prayer with me, this confession of faith. Say, dear God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And today, I declare that I am strong in you and in the power of your mind. I declare that the blood of Jesus covers me, covers my family, covers my children, covers everything that I do. I declare that my life is in alignment with your plans and your purposes. I declare that I am a child of God. And if you're with me, who can be against me? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, today I evict fear out of my life. I declare I'm not concerned. I'm not anxious, for my life is in your hands. You are a good God. You are a faithful God. So in the name of Jesus, today is a fresh start, a new beginning in my life. I am strong. I am healthy. I am strong. I am healthy. My children are strong. My children are healthy. For you are a faithful God. I am not concerned. 1,000 may fall at one side. 10,000 may fall on the other side. But it will not come near me. For I am in the secret place of the Most High. And I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In Jesus' name.